All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get this thing going. Welcome, everybody, media industry, to round three of the Boost Mobile Olympics Championship, presented by Monster Energy. We're here at Shark Stadium in Cronulla. What is sure to be an epic night of racing after the time was set at Redcliffe just a few weeks ago. This is the press conference. This is where you guys are going to get to hang out, meet the riders. We're going to ask you some questions, throw it down to the media, also see what they have going on. We're going to introduce everybody real quick. Out of France is six-time French Supercross champion, HRC Honda Racing, Cedric Subiras. We've got the challenger, Luke Clout, and Penrite Racing Empire, Kawasaki, Filthy Phil Nicoletti, on the Monster Energy CDR Yamaha Racing, along with the CDR teammates of Mitchell Harrison and Aaron Tanney. And then to our right, KTM Racing Team's Liam Walsh, and then also Dean Wilson, bringing the red plate on HRC Honda Racing to Cronulla after a dominant weekend at Redcliffe just a few weeks ago. So we're going to kick this off, ladies and gentlemen, before I throw it out to the media. Dean, going to go straight to you. I think these mics will be live. No secret, incredibly emotional weekend for you at Redcliffe. Incredible performance, incredible management of everything with that, mate, and obviously heading into Cronulla now with a new perspective and ready to rock and roll.
Yeah, Redcliffe went really well. I was happy with how it went. Reading was good, and yeah, can't complain. It was good, and obviously it was definitely an emotional weekend for me. It was very tough mentally, and but coming, you know, here for Red 3, feeling a lot better, more like myself, in a better headspace, and just happy to be here, beautiful place, so yeah, I'm looking forward to it.
Absolutely, looking good out there in Presto, feeling it, whips, having fun. Obviously you said the dirt here this weekend, very similar to Wollongong last year, and we saw you really do well there in Excel, so looking forward to probably riding a bit more of a spec track as far as the height of the rhythms, bigger jumps. Like, it's no secret that in Australia we only have, you know, 5 rounds of Supercross a year, so it's very motocross predominant, so easing our riders in is a good way to do it. And now this track will step that level up again.
Yeah, track looks good. Like I said earlier, just looks like there's more dirt, so everything looks bigger, taller. Maybe a little bit peakier, but I haven't taken a good look at it, but we did get to ride some of it, and no, it's good. I think it is the actual same dirt as Wollongong, according to Quinny. So, yeah, I think that's good dirt. It's a little bit, it still gets a little bit of shine, but it gets some ruts, so it'll be a lot different than, you know, the first two rounds, so it'll be good. Start's a little bit different as well, so that will play a factor. So, no, it'll be good. I'm looking forward to it, and be some good racing.
Absolutely. All right, well, like we said, ladies and gentlemen, this is round number three of the Boost Mobile AusX Championship, presented by Monster Energy. And a massive shout-out to all of the partners, AMB Group as the promoter, everybody that is making this championship grow and possible as we head into 2025 championship and round number three. And with that being said, I'm going to throw this down to the floor now across media. If anybody has any questions for the riders, let's get this going.
Phil Nicoletti, obviously the incident that happened, we've discussed it, it's been talked about, but more to know about your status to hand. You talked about having fractured bones in the hand. Where is that at, and where are you feeling like you can come into Cronulla?
Yeah, well, it is what it is. I mean, if it's broke, I'm still going to ride. If it's not broke, I'm still going to ride. It's just one of those deals. So, yeah, it's been unfortunate. Back was up against the wall on the weekend, and the snowball started rolling in the wrong direction. So, yeah, it was kind of an uphill battle, but that's the cards I was dealt with. You know, everyone knows, seen videos, this, that. Me and Luke chatted about it here and there, and just, you know, it's racing. I wish it didn't start off that way, because there's the heat race determined our gate pick for the main events 1 and 2, so, which is a bit unfortunate. So, you know, we just went through a line, and everyone knows how the Redcliffe starting pick was. It was fair, but it was unfair with the ruts and stuff. So it just, yeah, back is up against the wall. Like I said in Brisbane, sometimes you're the hammer, sometimes you're the nail. I got nailed, so we'll try and turn the tides this weekend, see how we go.
Phil, do you feel like you need to apologize to any of your competitors or no?
Luke and I had a good chat about it. I get it was a racing incident, but you know, we're all racers, and like I said, it was he raced first lap, track isn't fully broken, and yeah, their initial contact was pretty tough, but again, I get it. I'll put it behind me, and we're coming tomorrow night, and see how it goes.
Cloudy, this one's for you. A little bit of a rough, especially second night in Redcliffe. What's your status? How's your health? And then also talk about somewhat of a home race for you here.
Yeah, I'm all good. Yeah, I was a bit banged up, obviously, after that, you know, that crash. But, yeah, had a few days off and, you know, recharged batteries and, yeah, went to work. I feel like we've had a real solid few days back home. We've just worked on some weaknesses and, yeah, I'm ready to go. Obviously, you know, home kind of race for me, a lot of friends and family, and I seem to thrive off that. So, you know, I'm putting Redcliffe in the rearview mirror and I'm coming out tomorrow and, yeah, ready to go. So I'm excited.
Cool. One more for Cedric. Cedric, you came in, you know, a lot of people were probably wondering where you might be. Were you kind of one in the sand? Because you haven't raced a lot of these guys. You've raced a few of them, but first time down here to Australia, or second time you came, you know, a couple years ago, but to the actual AusEx Supercross Championship, did it kind of over-exceed your expectations, and where do you feel like you'll be tomorrow?
Yeah, when I arrived 6 weeks ago, first in the interviews, I was saying that I would like to be in the top five, and I had a second in the championship after round two, so yeah, it's more than my expectation, actually, and yeah, I had more time on the bike right now, and we made like 2 weeks of testing and practice, and also riding with Dean. It's kind of good thing that I'm riding in the week a little bit with Dean. It's getting a good rhythm for the weekend, but you know how it is after we won two in the championship, and I'd like to stick on the podium at the end of the championship, and I know that if I can get some wins before the last round, it would be amazing, but I know how hard it is, and there is not only Dean, there is 500 guys or even more that can get some podiums, so I need to be focused and get some points and stay out of trouble.
Hey, Alex Gobert, MotoOnline.com. For Phil, what's your take on the two moto format, and how do you balance the sense of urgency with patience?
Yeah, it's a bit different because the way the points play out, but I have an issue with the way the format is, to be honest with you. I fully disagree with how the heat race is the gatepick for Moto 1 and Moto 2. So I go ahead and I get 6th in the heat race. I come to the first main event. I get 12th gatepick. I win that first main event. I still go to a line for the second main, 12th gatepick. Like, to me, that's a flawed system for me, you know? So we're prioritizing the heat race over a main event result that's got everybody in it. So I'm sure all of us here will agree with that. But, again, that's the cards we're dealt with. Hopefully later on in the future we can change that. But the urgency with the 10 laps, and, you know, they're not very long lap times, and everyone kind of does the same rhythms. But, obviously, Redcliffe showed, like, with Dean in the whoops, there were places to pass, and guys were getting a bit of aggressive. But I think this weekend with the dirt, I'll get running, so make it a little bit different. But yeah, it's intense with 210 lappers. Not much time to get any wiggle room.
And for Aaron Tanti, you've had minimal race mileage this year, but at the same time, you did come back at the end of the outdoors. You want to make the most of this AusEx series. This series goes really quickly, though, so 4 weekends, 5 rounds, this weekend's round 3. How do you make sure that you, I guess, extract the most out of yourself each and every weekend? And is it rushed in some ways for you?
Yeah, like you said, I spent the first 6 months of the year on the couch. So, yeah, really, just try to come into this season. You know, I'm going well on the practice track. I felt that, and you know, my speed and stuff on the track was fine. It just when I came to them first two races, I just made too many mistakes. And then, you know, I backed up the second races with top three results. So I was a little bummed with that. I just feel like it's a little bit of racecraft because my last couple of years have been, you know, lacking a little bit of race time. But For me, now it's just focusing on every race just to be better and finish out the year strong, like, you know, how we can, and just keep moving on. I've got another 2 years with the CDR team, so it's just a rebuild and to try and finish strong.
You want to put Dylan Walsh, Dylan, just talk us through those opening, you know, laps of that first main in Redcliffe, you know, leading laps, and there was, you know, about 15 different contenders at one point trying to make the pass. Like, how were you, you know, composing yourself, and then for yourself, you hadn't had much supercross time. Was it sort of coming pretty quick, or were you able to take the time and kind of just let it happen and play out? And again, you started pretty good all weekend.
Yeah, it was a bit difficult. I it was my first 450 supercross race, so it didn't seem like it'd be a big deal, but it's a lot different. And a lot of people were like, yeah, behind me and trying to pass, so everyone was like, each lap was changing, but I just, I was a little bit tired. I did a lot of travel the week beforehand with Nations and whatever, and I knew it was just good to be out there and pushing myself and find a direction which way we need to go off the bike, because obviously it's a new bike for me also, being a KTM, so that was good, and we took a lot from it, so we should be a lot better for this round.
Dean, one for you. You know, sort of talked about what happened at Redcliffe, but does your focus change a little bit now? You know, obviously championship in mind, but are you trying to see how many of these races you can accumulate, race wins? I know they don't come easy and you got work for them, but I know it seems like maybe you have a little eye of the tiger where you want to kind of go out and be pretty dominant over this championship.
Yeah, I mean, I'd be lying if I, you know, said I didn't want to win. For sure I want to try and win. Just got to put myself in good positions, you know. Like Phil says, 10 laps times 2. There's not a lot of time to make stuff happen, so the starts are really important. I've really been working on my starts, so that's a big priority for me is my starts. And yeah, like, I don't take anyone for granted. You know, I any one of these guys can show up and be good. So, man, I'm just gonna keep the same mentality that I had at the first two rounds, you know, and that's just what works best for me, and enjoy it, have fun. I'm in a lot better headspace this weekend, just ready to enjoy it. Have my best friend fly out, show up and surprise, so that was really cool. Got my family here, and ready to have a good weekend and make my mom proud.
Last one for me, Luke, that how many starts and how many sets of whips did you hit this weekend, because that was kind of the key to Redcliffe.
Yeah, definitely. Did a lot of starts this week, and yeah, we made a gear change in the middle of the pre-season, and then obviously, you know, once you go racing, that's when you know if it works or it doesn't. But yeah, we made some little changes here and there to the bike, you know, to suit that. So I feel like, you know, my starts let me down last week for sure. Obviously the whoops as well, but you know, I'm usually a really good starter, and yeah, they just weren't up to standard, and put myself in a bad position, and you know, we've seen how that kind of worked out. But yeah, hit a lot of whoops this week. Feel like we made some progress, and yeah, just like I said, I worked on a lot of weaknesses, and feel like we've made some steady progress. So I'm excited to see how we go, and you know, two sets of whoops tomorrow night, so we'll put it to the test and see how we go.
Luke, I want to stay with you real quick. Can you clarify the mechanical in final one of round two? Was it a foot peg issue?
Yes, yeah, broke foot peg.
So yeah. Broke foot peg. Did that break in the first zone crash?
It was pretty much like, yeah, it was pretty much broken, and then I kept riding, and then it snapped off, and I nearly died over the finish. So
that was
decided to pull in, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's a lot of foot pegs getting claimed in Redcliffe. Mitchell Harrison, I'm going to move it over across to you first. Boost Mobile Ozex experience. How did you enjoy Redcliffe, and what did you learn from Australian Supercross racing?
I learned your tracks are really hard packed, and you have to get a start. So that was my issue. Didn't get a good start, and I mean, track is difficult to figure out. I just don't really hide anything like that. But we got the bike really good this week, and I've just continued to put in a lot of laps on a really hard pack track, so I think it'll be a lot better this weekend.
For Mitchell, you had a great season in the States on the Kawasaki. How's the transition been to the CDR Monster Energy Yamaha team? What are some of the things that, some of the characteristics on the bike that you found to your liking?
Really, it's just the, I think, the team. You know, we test a lot, and just how the bike, like how they made the delivery was really nice, and how the engine package is just very smooth. Like with factory bikes, I found that like the shifting, like you don't ever got to worry about it, and that's, you know, what I'm gonna take back to my team in the States is like I really want it to be just smooth and, you know, really trustworthy, and that's the main thing. But like the comparison between the Kawasaki and the Yamaha, I mean, I think the Yamaha, the chassis actually moves a little bit more. I think it flexes a little bit more than the Kawi. The Kawi seems to me like really dead, which I like a lot. But I think just, you know, I think the Craig's the factory team, and I think it's just a little bit better. But we're getting there in the States, and I think Julian's doing a great job. So it's just really cool to experience everything I've experienced over here. And like I've said, you know, it's a bit spoiled, so that's been great. But yeah, the Yamaha just
And for Dino, how has your perspective on racing changed over the years? Obviously, being the top dog, as soon as you went pro, there's a lot of pressure that comes with that, championship pressure. Seems like you found a nice little niche for yourself, racing a lot overseas. Is it a little, do you have a little less pressure on you? Are you having more fun racing now than you were back then? Because that's what it looks like from the outside.
Yeah, for sure. So I have this pretty cool schedule that I've gotten to do. Thank you to Yurik. He's been, you know, he kind of was the one that brought the idea to me a little bit. And it just works out so good. You know, factory Honda here in Australia, factory Honda in Brazil. And I even got the factory Honda in the States, which was obviously by luck, but that was really cool. But I read for the Quad Lock Honda team, and then I did some UK stuff for Honda there. So it just worked out really good, and if I wanted to continue racing and doing what I'm doing, I had to do something where it was a little bit more, just not every weekend. So, yeah, there's not as much pressure, but then there is pressure, because when I go to places like Brazil, it's, I'm expected to win, and it's like, it's, yeah, I mean, I will say I get less nervous sometimes for AMA Supercross because I'm not expecting to win. We're happy with the top 10 than I am, you know, for Oz and stuff like that or whatever. Like, I'm expected to win. And but I really don't feel too much pressure here. It's I really enjoy being here. And I have a good schedule going, and hopefully we can keep it going. You know, I'm 34 in December, so we're getting up there. But enjoying it. Like, that's at the end of the day. Still race my bike, going to all these countries, checking it out. So I think when I'm done racing, I can look back and be like, man, that was a good ride. And I think that's kind of like my motto now, is just like, enjoy the ride, go to these races, enjoy it, go check out, you know, the scenery, have a glass or two of red wine before the race. Like, I'm here to enjoy it. I work hard during the week, I do my work, I train, but I want to enjoy what I'm doing as well. So that's a big thing for me as well.
Hey, Mitch from ADV Magazine. This one's probably more for Cloudy and Tanti. There was a bit of chat about a lack of prep time between Primex ending and Supercross starting for us, for the Aussie guys, especially when you're racing almost full-time Supercross guys. We spoke to Hammy during the week, and he said there's pretty much no excuse for not training Supercross and Motocross at the same time throughout the year. Have you been doing that? Do you do that? He said, even if you roll the loops, roll around them, could be another Hammy special, but are you guys training Supercross at the same time as Pro-Max?
No. I don't know who came up with that. I thought, Hammy, where you got that from, that you're not going to have a Supercross bike and a Motocross bike and hitting whoops and then going to do a 30-minute moto. Like, that just doesn't make sense. But, I mean, we have, what, 6 weeks? Look, it's like, is it enough time? Probably not, especially when you're racing guys that are doing it, you know, all year round, but I guess that's the cards we're dealt with, and you just got to, you know, just get stuck in the grind and figure it out. But, you know, it just sucks for some of the younger guys that, you know, are trying to learn this sport. You know, we don't do it enough, and they're expected to come out to a track that they've only ridden, you know, they've only done 6 weeks, or not even, you know, not even 6 weeks, and then we race 4 weekends and it's done, and then we're back to motocross. So I think we need more Supercross time, definitely. I don't know how we sort that out is, you know, do we book motocross earlier and make the schedule a little bit tighter or something like that to give us some more time? But I don't know, it's something that needs to be figured out. But yeah, we definitely aren't riding supercross in the middle of the motocross season.
Yeah, I do agree with Luke. It's like, it's really hard for us for like our motocross season. It's, I mean, we only do 8 rounds, but it's dragged out over a long period of time of the year. And you know, the preparation for supercross, that they have extended it. It wasn't too long ago that we only used to have like 2 or 3 weeks, and then they'll put us into round one and then another month off, you know, round two. Which, so they're doing that a little bit better, giving us a little bit more time. But I do agree with Luke, like a lot of these younger kids coming up, they didn't really have what we used to have growing up. You know, we had arena crosses, stadium crosses as juniors and stuff. They are getting better now. But yeah, the prep time, especially when, you know, you're versus guys that do it full time, it definitely is hard. But, you know, I had to do a little bit of supercross during motocross about 2 years ago when they had the World Supercross program, because it kind of, I think it was before the last 2 rounds of motocross, so I had to dabble a little bit there for some supercross prep. But yeah, I definitely had a great day that we should train supercross during our motocross.
And I want to feel too, but you've ridden some pretty impressive bikes in your long career. Where does the CDR bike you're riding at the moment rank compared to any other bikes that you've ridden?
Yeah, it's up there, you know. Obviously, they get back to KYB suspension and stuff like that, and I had help from them in the US. But like I said before, you can have all the pieces to the puzzle, but you're only as good as the people that are on the team to be able to utilize those parts and stuff. So for me, it's been awesome. Obviously, I had a long relationship with a couple of X, and building that 450 as well, and then coming down here and be able to see what they have, because, you know, when I was a kid, the CDR program was huge and, you know, renowned all across the world. So to be down here and be able to experience, see what they have and see all the data and stuff, and they're very particular, it's cool to see. So it's definitely up there, you know. I enjoy being back on blue and a blue fender. You know, if you asked me when I turned pro if I'd have, you know, 90% of my professional career on a Yamaha, I'd say you're lying. But I've always gelled well with the blue bike, so it's been good so far.
Alright, thank you. Sue, I've got a question for you before we probably wrap this one up for the riders. At what stage did you know you had a flat front tyre in that heat race at Redcliffe? I still don't know how you pulled that one off.
I got that. I felt in the second lap. I know the heat was about 6 laps, so in the second lap, I felt like someone was getting stuck in my steering, and I thought at first that my transponder turned on my fork and it was getting stuck a little bit on my handlebar, and then I looked it down and I saw my transponder, and then at the same time, I see that the side of my tire was getting like glued at the rim. So I was like, okay, now I need to save it. And yeah, I was I'm sure that you probably see on the video, I was like turning like in a proper corner, you know. So yeah, it was difficult, and I almost lost the front end like after triple. But you know, I just managed to make it, because I used to grow up in the south of France, where it's pretty hard backtrack, and we got flat tires and used mousse in the front. And yeah, I was just remembering this and just try to go with it.
Supercross mousse, that would be interesting. Alright, ladies and gentlemen, there's no more questions from the media for the riders. We'll probably wrap this one up for the Bruce Mobile OzX, presented by Monster Energy, Round 3 Riders Press Conference. We'll set these guys off. Thank you, guys.